Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Kindergarten Kept Simple. Today, I am joined by a guest who is actually pretty much on the opposite side of the country from me right now. We are bi-coastal, and I'm being joined by Marissa, who you might know from Instagram as Madame Marissa. And she's here today to talk to us a little bit about one of my favorite topics, loose parts. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Hello, everybody.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you are, what you teach, and why loose parts are so special to you?
Okay, well, like you said, I'm on the opposite side of the country. I'm on the sea coast side of things, and I live about 45 minutes outside of Vancouver. So I teach grade three, which is not only opposite coast, but we're opposite grades here. I used to teach kindergarten, and that was 1 year, and then I got out of there because that was not for me. So all the power to those of you who do. But I currently teach grade three, and that's so much more my speed. And yeah, today we're going to talk about loose parts. And personally, I would categorize myself as a very structured, old school teacher. But then I do things like loose parts, which is very much of the time and play. And that's sort of how I like to incorporate my play, even with my little older guys.
I love that. And I noticed that on your, because I follow you on Instagram, obviously. And I noticed that too, where it's so fascinating to me to see an older grade really embracing play and embracing storytelling through loose parts and everything. And I just find it so, I don't know, amazing and inspiring. And it makes me so excited that our littles can continue to learn through play as they age up through the school system.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, we have these story workshop carts at our school. I was one of the people who ran this program, and we have grade seven kids who use those carts. And so, like, my biggest takeaway and what I would like to tell everybody is that loose parts are not just for primary, right? You can take those skills, and the grade sevens love it. You give them something to play with and create with. And obviously your expectations are different, but it doesn't have to stop just because now you're in grade two or grade five or grade seven, right?
And I think that's just a lesson overall. I feel like we put so much pressure on kids to grow up and be more mature so early on. And I remember in grade seven, I don't know if this is embarrassing or not, I still had my dollhouse and I would regularly play with it. But my friends loved coming over because they'd all gotten rid of all of their toys. But you're still a kid in grade seven. Right? And I feel like we just forget or like expect them to be more at that high school level, but they're still kids.
They're still kids. And, you know, even when I was introduced to loose parts, we had somebody from our district come to a staff meeting, and she had some pieces for us to choose from. And there we were, a room full of adults having so much fun. I wish she could have, you know, recorded just listening into how much fun people were having. And that's adults doing it. So why do we say that you suddenly become an intermediate student and sorry, you're not doing any loose parts anymore, right?
Totally. And it's so great for so many different kinds of learners too. So it's just, I don't know. I hope that people listening to this are going to be inspired to tell their coworkers to maybe try play or do loose parts or something like that. But why don't you tell us a little bit about what this story, what did you call it? Storytelling cart?
A story workshop cart. So we got these carts. They're sort of a wooden three-tiered cart from our district. And when we got them, it had about 9 bins of things. And they were really basic, the typical loose part stuff. So buttons and little gems, some rocks, some little sticks, really basic. And we tried it out with our classes. We're like, this is great. They're loving this. And then the following year, my colleague and I decided to go to our parent council and say, hey, would you like to give us some money? Because we would like to make this better. And now it has evolved. Now we have 2 carts, and on each cart, there are about 70 bins, and we have a tray that has seasonal stuff. So we change that every month. And that goes around the whole school. Everybody can use it. And it has really given so many opportunities to classes to try this out. And then those teachers have been able to go, I like this so much that I'm going to start building my own collection in my classroom to be able to do more activities on it.
And if my memory is serving me correctly, I feel like you shared a picture and it was all of those kind of clear, stackable, small bins that are in the cart.
Yeah. So we got those from Dollarama, and I've been looking for the past year and I can't find them. I don't know if we're on a shortage here, but they're fantastic. They stack on top, and I like that they're clear. You can see what's in them. You don't have to label them and all that sort of stuff. And it's easy for the kids to sort things back because that's part of it, right? Story workshop or loose part seems a little daunting because you give all these kids all these little bits of things, And then you have to try to get them to put it back together. That's part of the teaching that you have to do at the beginning. But kindergarten students are able to do that if you teach them how to do it. And those clear bins really make it obvious. Okay, I have a little person. I have to put them back with the little people. This is a little greenery piece. So it's easy to sort out that way. Totally. And then on the top of the cart, we have all kinds of backgrounds. So we started with felt, like little felt mats, but then we've expanded from there. We have big mirrors, and those are so popular. They use them for ice and water and all that kind of stuff. We have cork boards. We have fake grass. We have placemats that are in different shapes. So you can really go wild with it and let your creativity take over.
So do you have a sign out system for the whole school?
Yeah. So what we do, because we have two carts, I create two calendars and we sort of do one chunk of the year at a time. So we did one from September to December and we have three blocks a day. So before recess, in the middle, and then after lunch. And so the teacher who wants it just goes and puts their name on, and the cart is stored outside of my class and we've got one outside another class. So they just come by, grab the cart, and it has everything they need ready to go. They wheel it down to their class and use it. And then they just bring it back at the end of the day or at the end of their block for somebody else to use. So
amazing. Yeah. Do you have advice for anyone who wanted to start one up, how to approach to get funding for this? What sort of things that they should start with? Things like that.
Well, we were lucky that ours was sort of already started by the district, but I'd say try something in your class first, because from my experience, admin wants to know, how does it go? They want you to kind of pilot it first. Like, is it worth our money to put into this project? And so if you can start with your own little collection and try something in your classroom or even in a small group, you don't have to go with wild with a whole class at first, and then be able to approach your admin or your parent group or whoever might be giving you funding toward it, then go with that route, right? Do a little research, see what the benefits are, because obviously with any educational programming, they're going to want to know who can use it and why is it important. And for building your own collection, start small. I know with everything we look at on Instagram, it's the big, the crazy, I could never afford that. How is your collection so big? And I mean, I'm guilty of that. I post my school cart, but we have to remember, and I do make sure to note on there, that this was paid for by the school and that it would be ridiculous for any teacher to have that by themselves. So when you're starting your collection, check your junk drawer. There's so much stuff in that junk drawer. Ask the parents in your families for donations. Go to the thrift store. I found some of my most unique, cool items by cutting up old necklaces, or you know, you go to the home section. You can really create a little collection with very little money to start out with. So you don't have to fully invest all of this, right?
Totally. And I love that note about Instagram, especially because a lot of the people who are on Instagram have been teaching for years and years and years. And so if you are a new teacher or you're new to loose parts and all of a sudden you're comparing yourself to someone who's been collecting for 5 years, obviously is an unreasonable expectation. But I totally agree with you about the thrift store, especially if you go to Valley Village and there's like that wall of all the plastic hanging bags. There's so many treasures in there.
Home decor section.
Yeah, there's so many great things. And also buy nothing groups.
Don't be afraid to cut things up, right? Mm-hmm. Like you even a dollar store or the thrift store or craft stores, wherever, and you think, oh, that looks so cool. Cut it off the string it's on, right? It's on a garland. Cut it off, right? Cut up your pieces of greenery. It doesn't have to be ready to go in the condition that you want to use it for, because you can create it how you want it for your kids, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just it helps if you can look at things through the eyes of a child too, because sometimes when you're an adult, you're like, well, this is a beaded necklace. But then if you think, what would my student think when they looked at this? Maybe they think it's a magic gem. Maybe they think it's a hamburger. Like, who knows? So if we are a little bit more open-minded and creative about how we see the different objects, it's a lot easier to see everything essentially as a loose part.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like what you said, everything is a loose part. Like people often ask, well, what is it? Well, it's anything small, right? It's anything small that you can manipulate and create a story with. But it doesn't mean that you have to buy the little people pre-done and your little trees and your little everything that looks like a thing already. You can get like the buttons and the gems and the whatever. I got a donation just a couple weeks ago of some like petri dish containers. Ooh, and those are now part of my collection. And they love them because they put stuff in them. And it's like, oh, this is a pool for my whoever. And as an adult, I look at a Petri dish, like, what are you going to use that for? And they've come up with a million uses for it already. So just anything, give it to them, try it out, right? You can go wild with it.
And I think that people will be surprised at what ends up being kind of like the favorite loose part in a collection.
Yeah.
What do you find is like the most used things in the cart?
They always ask for the people. They must have the people. And I know some loose part traditionalists may say you're not supposed to give things that look like other things. So you can give them buttons to create a person with, but you shouldn't give them a little character. I don't really subscribe to that. I think create with what you want. But yeah, definitely the people, the gems, and oh, a really interesting one are old CDs or old DVDs. They flip them over and they're pawns, or ice skating rinks or something. But yeah, we got a donation of a whole bunch of them from a teacher who was clearing out a closet and was like, do you want these for story workshop? And we thought, okay, we'll take them, just put them on the cart thinking, I don't know how this will go, we'll toss them if they don't go anywhere. And they are so well used.
I would not have thought of that one. That's a good one,
right? But there's another example of like clearing out a cupboard. What am I going to use these for? Well, sure, right? And even the CD case, they use those for things, right?
Yeah, because those, anything that like opens and closes, I feel like we love.
They love, and they make them into tents and all kinds of things.
So when you pull that cart into your room and it's your turn to kind of have the story cart, how do you run it? Do they have little bins that they go and they pick materials? Do you have certain things that you put out on a table? What's the structure?
So what I do is I choose about 10 bins, because you can't just put everything out. It wouldn't get sorted properly and it's too much choice. So give them 10 bins, but depending on your grade, you may want to start smaller, maybe 5 or 6 bins. So I put out those little clear tubs of the people and the gems and the stones and the whatever out on my rainbow table. And then beside that, I put our seasonal bin so that they have the option to use those as well. Now, a really interesting trick we found is we have to get all these loose parts from the table and the bins to back to our desk or the floor or wherever we're building. And originally, they were kind of just holding them on their piece of felt, and then they'd end up all over the floor. We now use old yogurt containers to, when you're going up to the table, you're going around the table and you're collecting a little bit from every bin, and then you're able to dump those into your little yogurt container and carry that back to your table, your desk, your wherever, and you're not spilling it all over the floor. And that also helps with cleanup. They take all the pieces off their desk and they're going to go back to the table and sort them back. Well, they've got everything in one place and it's not fallen all over the place. So
yeah, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. So they have all of that at the table. And if you're going to start, you could start with a story to inspire them. You could start with a prompt, videos like those, you know, those Pixar short film. Those are great, especially for French, because a lot of them don't have words. So you don't have to worry about putting that in there. But you don't have to give them a prompt. Most of the time I don't. So you can just let them go, or you can give them a theme. Say you're doing something around kindness. So your story has to be about kindness or about winter, but what actually happens in the story is up to them. And I have names like on popsicle sticks. So I'll pull a name out just to avoid everybody coming to the table together and slow everybody down, right? So you pick your name, you go get your pieces and you sit down. In grade 3, I give them about 10 to 15 minutes to build. And then we often do writing afterwards, or we'll do an oral share out. But if you teach the younger kids, you could do 20 minutes of building, give them more of that play time. And maybe they just share a little bit with a friend, or you're walking around checking everybody out and letting them share with you. So the structure of it, you can really change it, and you can change it every time. So you started with a story this time and created about that. Next time you're starting just with no prompt. So you are allowed to make it what you want. I think there are no rules to Story Workshop, and you can't really mess it up, because it's up to the kids' creativity. It really doesn't have anything to do with you as a teacher.
So do you find the majority of the play is kind of the setting up of this picture almost, rather than them then engaging with the materials and moving the little figures and people around?
I think it will depend on the student. Some are really content in just creating a still sort of nothing moves. But then I will also notice that many students will pick up characters, like they'll take the animal, they'll take the person and move things around, right? And that will help them if you are doing an oral share or a writing activity after, to understand what's happening in their story. Because obviously, if you're just building and looking down at your still creation, in the mind of a child, there may be a story, or they may be a student that struggles with the development of their ideas. And so if you can start moving things around, that really helps a lot of them be able to kind of understand what's happening and get a concrete image, so that when they go and share in whatever way they're going to share, they already know what's happening. I use the Loose Parts cart, the Story Workshop cart, once a week in my class. But then I also use Loose Parts for other things. It's like they're in my early finisher bins, that you can use them as counting collections for making patterns, right? So it doesn't just have to be, oh, we only use these for stories and that's it, right? There's so many other ways to use.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, because I was like, I know on Instagram you do these very satisfying to watch videos where you're filling up your monthly like loose parts bin. I'm like, how does that fit in?
Yeah, no, those are in our early finisher bins. So like I said, I teach grade three. And so there, I've got two loose part bins. I've got nine total, two are loose parts. And those are the most popular. I do have to have a system of who is allowed to use them which days, or else they would just be animals with each other about it. But I've got a colleague who also teaches, she teaches grade one, two, and she has loose parts as part of her early finisher setup. And so with that, there are no rules. I don't expect them to create a story in the same way that I would when we do story workshop time. Sometimes they do, because they're just comfortable with that. But sometimes they make designs, like a mandala sort of idea with the parts, just patterns. Sometimes they just lay everything out and organize it. You know, you've got those type A kids. Yep. Sometimes they just make rows of pretty little organized things. So with that, is really just a keep you busy sort of thing, and let them create and be creative in whatever way suits them.
I love that. And I feel like it was you that I saw on Instagram that also lets them, if you have an indoor recess, they can use them and build stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So depending on what you do for indoor recess, you may offer some centers, or, you know, maybe it's drawing or reading or something. But yeah, that can definitely be a something to keep them busy for when they can't go outside. And on the West Coast, it rains all the time. So,
so you're inside a lot. Amazing. Okay, well, why don't you tell us what to expect from your workshop at Camp Kinder? If you guys didn't already know, Marissa is going to be joining us to talk more about Loose Parts this summer. I'm so excited. This was one of the most highly requested workshops coming out of last year's Camp Kinder. I put out a form and everyone was like, loose parts, I need to learn more about loose parts. So then I reached out to Marissa and I was like, is there any way I could convince you to do a workshop on loose
parts? Hey, grade three teacher, you want to come down and talk to us?
I'm like, I know you teach grade three, but just because I've been seeing the story cart and I've been seeing how engaged your students are and how organized you are and everything, and I feel like you're just the perfect person to kind of lead the way. So why don't you tell us what to expect from your workshop this summer?
Yeah, well, thank you for asking me to do it. I feel like I could talk loose parts all day, so I'm happy I get the chance to do it. Well, it's really going to cover everything. So we're going to talk about storage. We're going to talk about where to buy them. And like I talked about with the thrift stores, some of those places that you might not consider going that will help you build up your collection. We're going to talk about prompts, how to get started. We'll talk about other ways to use loose parts. We're going to do like a sort of all-encompassing loose parts, what you need to know. And if you're brand new to loose parts, I think you're going to get a lot out of this. But if you've been doing loose parts or story workshop in your class already, I still think there may be some tips or some ideas of things to implement that may help it go more smoothly in your classroom.
Yeah. And I know even from our Q&A last summer at Camp Kinder, lots of experienced teachers who have been doing loose parts for years were struggling with storage. They were struggling with the budgeting aspect. They were struggling with getting their kids to clean up. So I think that it's an ever-growing kind of a learning curve when we are working with so many small pieces with our small friends. And yeah. I know there's going to be a lot of amazing info in there. So I'm but just so excited.
I keep learning every year as well, right? So I've been doing this about 5 years, and every year I sort of add one of those new things. Like last year we brought in the yogurt containers, and that was a game changer, right? And learning not to put too much out, and learning to do the pre-teaching and all that sort of thing, that you're just going to do a bit of trial and error and figure out what works for you and the age of your students and the setup of your classroom. So it's all a learning curve for everybody.
Totally. All right. Well, I think we'll end it there today. This has been so insightful and great. I want to set up a story cart in my home just so that I can look at it because they sound so cool.
Pretty.
Yeah, they're so pretty. And all my books are just in my closet. And I'm like, how can I have these on display now?
You get like a loose parts wall set up.
The dream. Right. So thank you again so much for joining us. I will link all of Marissa's info in the show notes. So she has a wonderful blog. Also, as much as we were talking about loose parts today, she has fabulous art ideas all the time. So make sure you give her a follow on Instagram and check out her blog. They're all definitely something that can be tailored toward kinder or any of the primary grades. And she has a fabulous TBT store you can check out if you're teaching older or if you've got older kids at home. And an email list. So I'll make sure all of that is linked for you in the show notes, but make sure you head over right now to follow her on Instagram so you can check out those super satisfying videos I was talking about, check out the story card and all of that good stuff.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. And I'm really looking forward to sharing more in the summer with the conference.
Me too. I'm so excited. And again, thank you so much. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
So we'll end it there today, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. We will see you, hear you, catch you next time on the next episode of Kindergarten Kept Simple. The end. How do I stop recording?